Log Talk Radio.
Yeah. Here we are, another Norm at Night. We're going to talk tonight about work, high school graduations, the 1% versus the 99%, the fallacy of the idea that there's such a thing as a middle class. But first, if you want to call in, if you want to get involved in tonight's conversation, the number is 347-945-6713. I got space for 50 callers. I'm hoping ever since that night I went over the limit, I expanded my capacity. But I don't seem to be getting the number of people that I used to get. Three things happened, and, you know, and that's what gave rise to this show. It's about the nature of work and the job crisis and the 1% and the 99% and how are we going to put people back to work? And I've been reading Tom Friedman's new book, That Used to Be Us. And I read Don Tapscott's Wikidomics and Macro Wikidomics. And I read all of these things and I think about work and there's all these possibilities and why aren't people working? And how do we get these people back to work that have gone away, that haven't worked? And I think to myself, oh, how wonderful it is, all the possibilities. And I bash my head against the wall trying to bring the schools that I've worked in around to this 21st century. And then I come to some sobering facts. First of all, the national high school graduation rate has fallen below 70%. That means all the kids going to high school in the United States every year, only about 7 in 10 graduate. Actually, it's getting closer to 6 in 10. That means 4 in 10 kids don't graduate from high school. 4 in 10. What are those kids going to do? What kind of jobs do those kids get? Let's talk about some of the jobs that those kids could get. In fact, if you have an idea about it, why don't you give me a call at 347-945-6713. Let me see if anybody's in the chat room right now. Oh, man. Hey, the Colt's in the chat room. I'm glad to see that. That means he'll be coming over to the main show. And well, join me for sure. I got nobody calling in yet, but you got plenty of room. I want to know what kind of jobs you think a high school dropout can get. Well, maybe go work down at the local gas station, pump gas. Yeah, when's the last time you had somebody pump gas? Maybe go work at the local McDonald's. I guess you can work at the McDonald's. You don't even have to count change anymore. Everything's push button. How many McDonald's jobs you think there are, for God's sake? You know, and yeah, you can really do wonderful things at $8 or $9 an hour. Now that's the overall graduation rate for people in the United States. Well, what if you're black? Then it drops down to right about 5 in 10 graduate from high school. That means that almost 5 in 10 black kids don't graduate from high school. The fact is, and it's a terrible thing to say, but the deck's stacked against you if you're black, especially if you haven't graduated from high school. It's even a touch worse for Latinos. They graduate less people from high school than even the black people. Well, that's the legals. We don't even know what's happening with the illegals. I guess they can pick our tomatoes and pick our apples and pick our lettuce and can be exploited. It's really a very interesting and sad situation. I'm trying to I don't know what I'm trying to do. I want to open another Skype window, and I'm having trouble with it. I don't know if you're listening, my Irish friend, but if you are, you know, give us a call, 347-945-6713. I don't know what I'm doing here. I just don't know what I'm doing. But anyway, I said I was going to tell you about three things that I saw. I just don't like talking to myself. And I don't know. But I hope people are watching this Norm at Night, because I like doing Norm at Night. And I'm going to keep doing it. We got a chat room going. Here, I want everybody to think about something when we're talking about work. Your car registration has, it's about to expire. So what you do is you pick out a day, you take a deep breath. Nobody ever remembers to mail it in, and you go down to the MVA. There's people everywhere. They're coming out the doors. It's the end of the month. Everybody's down there filling out their they're to renew the registration on their cars. There's a big, here, I'm just talking about in Maryland, there's a big circular desk, and it's filled with people that as you come in, they give you these little tickets and tell you where to go. And there's state employees everywhere. And you wait in line after line after line. And, you know, this mind-numbing person, you know, job, they just keep processing people. But those jobs are paying pretty well. And every one of those people have health care. And every one of them's feeding their family. And because it's mind-bending and dull, mistakes get made. Sometimes you even have to go there again. And everybody hates it. But those same people working behind all those counters, you know, if you're, they go to your auto mechanic shop, they go to your schools, they have kids that need to be taught. All those things happen. Well, Maryland gets a governor. And this is probably one of the greatest accomplishments of a Maryland governor, really, in the last 50 years. Governor Ehrlich computerizes the Maryland Motor Vehicle Administration process. And it reached its culmination this year. Yeah, of course, just like always, my registrations ran out. Mine, my daughter's, you know, and it was too late to send it in by the mail. So I thought, oh no, I'm going to have to go down to the MVA and I'm going to have to wait in all the lines and I'm going to have to give the state of Maryland reason to have all these people working behind the motor vehicle counter. So I fire up my computer, and I find out you can't renew your registration anymore in Maryland at the Motor Vehicle Department. So I think, oh, shoot, what do I do? Well, what you do is, even if you're within the, you know, within the window where it's not going to get you in time, you do it online anyway. And so sure enough, I do it online, and they print, they send right to my printer a temporary registration, which I then, you know, put on the cars. Utterly amazing. I write no checks, so no checks have to be calculated. I don't have to wait in any lines. I don't have to do anything at the MVA. There's all kinds of people that don't have to have jobs anymore. Those are the kind of jobs, heck, that high school graduates get. Not just, and non-graduates, who even knows? But those jobs don't exist anymore. Well, that one. Example number two, I always go to union shops, and so that's why I won't go to Wegmans, because they're a non-union food store. I either go to, Safeway or Giant. Retail clerks are in both those shops. My mother was a retail clerk. I was a retail clerk when I worked for the supermarket when I was in high school till I was 18 in college and could go to work at the steel mill. But anyway, so I go to Safeway, or if you go to Giant, or I'm sure if you go to Wegmans. The majority of cash stations at Safeway, the last time I was there, were digital checkouts. No cashier. There's nobody really walking around in the store to help you. You want to know something about a project, you take your freaking phone out and you flash it on a, what do you call those, a QR code or a scan block. But I went to the self-checkout. That's what they call it. I like to call it the digital cashing station. But you go to the self-checkout. You check your groceries out. They even can find the olives now. It's not even hard, and I don't know how the cameras do it, but God forbid you don't put your grocery down in the right place. Things start going off. Well, there's these 10 checkouts, and they're all going, and there's one Safeway employee that stands there really doing nothing. Because after you use the self-checkout the first time, there sure isn't any reason to go back. And you look down this just dead line of, cashier checkouts. There's only a couple of them working. Oh, they might have more of them working this, you know, as Thanksgiving approaches, but boy, I sure don't believe that. And there's almost no employees in the store. And I'm sure that Safeway is just booming as far in the short term. But all the people now that they don't have to hire, what are those people going to do? Hey, I got a call coming in. Hey, go ahead there. I was off on one of my rants. I didn't see you there. How are you?
Pretty good. So,
how's the weather out there on the coast?
Kind of moderate. I think it's about 52, and it was like in the 60s, 65 today, something like that. Just, you know, it's cool. But sunshine, so yeah. So you're having problems
it's cool
with
at night, but it's been in the 70s here.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I gotta finish this. So I leave the Safeway, and I decide, you know, I really haven't read Dune. I've never read Dune, and I don't know why I decided I wanted to read it.
So I
get my car and believe it or not, I'm so glad that I didn't. I would have bought it at Barnes & Noble, but they didn't have any.
Oh, that's more like a sci-fi classic.
Well, I thought so too. And so anyway, it had become real popular in the local book circles, and so they were reading it and talking about it, so that may have been it. But anyway, I'd never read it, and I didn't go to the book circle either. Hey, remember, if you want to get in on this conversation, 347-945-6713 is the number. My buddy the cult is on, so there'll be some interesting chat about this whole thing. We got a lot of things to talk about from, well, I don't know if I'm going to talk about Sandusky or not.
I don't want to.
we're definitely going to talk about Wall Street and what happened down at, I always want to call it Biscotti Park, but that's not it.
I want to call it Zucchini Park, but it's the cat.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. But anyway, so I leave the Safeway, and I go down to the library, and, you know, I'm an old guy, so I go find a librarian. And the library, man, it's just like a museum. But anyway, I go find this guy, and I say, where are the science fiction books? Because, you know, I can find Herbert. But no, he's got to take me over. And so he takes me over to the, shows me where the science fiction is, and hands me Dune. Well, I'm walking out, you know, to go check the book out, and I realize, holy cow, well, this isn't Dune. This is one of the, what do you call those, offshoots, or, you know, one of the ones that followed the original.
Oh.
One of the sequels.
Yeah. Mm.
So I go back to the science fiction section, and I find the right Dune. Right next to it is the DVDs of Dune. Audio.
Oh, yeah, that's worth watching. But it's really long.
Well, no, I meant the audio book.
Oh, the audio.
Actually,
okay.
So anyway, I said, oh, I'll just check both of these out. You know, you never know what, when you're in the car, you'll listen. And, but that's a whole other story, and I guess we can talk about that later.
Mm-hmm.
So I go downstairs to the, what do you call it? Checkout, and I see this thing, self-checkout.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, I got to try it, you know. Simple as pie. I pull out my library card, I scan it, I scan the book, and I scan the DVDs or CDs, and I'm out of the place. And I'm walking out to the car. They don't even give you a due date.
Hmm.
They send warnings to your computer.
Oh.
Which
yeah,
also, I renewed it. Because, of course, that's why I don't get library books. I never read them in the time allotted.
Oh, yeah.
But this is just really easy, you know? Clickety-clickety-clickety-clack. Now the book is renewed, and I'm thinking to myself, how many people are not working anymore because of this stuff?
Mm.
I mean, why? And then, well, anyway, so I'm thinking, hell, I guess you can work in a library if you graduate from high school.
Mm.
And I think, oh, my God. The people that are being displaced, you know, the shelvers and all those other people that they'd have around, those jobs aren't coming back.
Yeah, right.
And then I think about, oh, my God, and half our kids are not graduating from high school.
Right. Well,
56% nationwide.
Well, that's why we have a lot of trouble determining how many jobs have been outsourced and how many jobs have been automated that we've lost through automation. And so the numbers are very different because, you know, when you deal with a state-of-the-art factory, I'll give you an example. General Electric finally decided to get into the solar panel business. And with much fanfare, they're building a factory in Colorado. You kind of wonder why. But it really doesn't matter where they build it. One, they don't need silicon anymore for the product they're going to develop. But this factory.
And one of the reasons they build in Colorado, I'll bet, is because they have a pretty high high school graduation rate.
It's a possibility. But this
so
factory. This factory is going to outproduce nearly all the smaller manufacturers. But they're only hiring 379 people. Now, that's an operation that would have taken thousands of people 20 years ago.
And
but they don't
if you haven't
them
graduated
right.
from high school, you don't have a prayer.
Well, that's
one
true.
Of
I mean, you know.
If you have graduated from high school, you don't have a prayer getting one of those jobs.
Right, right. Well, most jobs now require, you know, some level of computer literacy, you know.
Oh,
think of how many of those kids have never touched one, you know.
It's
I mean, my mother is 76, and she only just started using a laptop. But this is a huge breakthrough, even though all she does is play games.
Now my third example.
Mm.
Wait, I did. Oh, no, the library was the third example.
Oh, right, yeah, you did say.
And then I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, there is not one function this library does that we need this building for.
Right.
Not
if,
one,
if,
including lend the books.
Right, right. Well, yeah, it would be nice if everything were digitized. Of course, it isn't yet. I mean, most books are not available except in hardcover or, you know, in a physical book.
I don't mean to upset you, but that's not the case, actually.
No, given the number of books, the volume of books is incredible. And
Google would have it done now if they hadn't been stopped.
Yeah, Google started doing something that I thought was wonderful, but you know, let's face it, you're gonna bump into once you bump into copyrights, I'm sorry. Doesn't work. But you've also got a lot of obscure stuff that is just never gonna make it, you know. Even, you know, at the highest academic level. You know, someone has to take the time to do these things, and it hasn't happened. Films are the same way. There's still a lot of films that, you know, I can't just go to Netflix and find them, you know.
But they exist, and they could be put out there.
Yes, of course. You know, I certainly...
But my point is, it just hit me like a freight train. Every book in that library could be lent digitally.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And it's very easy to put a die code in the lending. And on the due date, it just disappears.
Well, yeah, that's more or less the deal. I mean, as far as these books go.
And it's simple to do, and whole library buildings can be closed. And here's what it comes down to. What are the people who are losing their jobs going to do?
Well, let's go back a little bit. Back in the late 40s, there was a man who coined the word automation.
Okay, stop,
and
stop.
Where it first caught on was at the Ford Motor Company.
I'm going to stop you here. Something happened in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
It's never going away. The internet is here.
Well,
it's
yeah, of
never
course, but,
going away.
But you're talking about scanners in supermarkets and libraries.
No, I'm not talking about...
Well, I don't know. That was two of your points.
I'm talking about everything is digitized. It's different than just automation.
Mm-hmm.
It changes everything. But anyway, you can go back to the 1940s.
If I'm just saying this is the beginning.
And I hope there's people listening out there. 347-945-6713.
See, one of the things, you know, that people said then was that, you know, while automation eliminated some jobs, it created new jobs. But the problem was that it never created an equivalent number of new jobs. And now we're at the point where it's not even remotely close. I mean, the number of people it took to, like you say, run a library versus what it takes today, you know. And we know that we could potentially eliminate nearly all of those jobs except for, you know, handful of technicians, you know. So, and with the cloud,
I could run the Bowie Library.
Well, okay, all of this stuff has to be produced or digitized at some point, right? And you got to know that libraries don't just do books; they do music, they do movies, lots of media.
All of that stuff is digital.
Right, but what I'm saying is you still need people, you know, you still need people to maintain your servers and update your web and all the rest of it, you know.
Well, they sure
so
are not
got all,
high school graduates.
You've got all these technical positions that have to be filled, and people do that until they get replaced. I don't know when that'll happen, but, you know. But I'm saying the concept has been around for a very long time, and we've been able to deal with it up until now, where I don't think there isn't much, you know, we're talking about the economy itself. It's sluggish, it's slow, everybody knows that. But yeah, what you have now, and this is also internet related, is labor is put out on a market, and all these countries can bid for it. That's what happens. It used to be states could bid and they could give tax breaks and credits and what have you, but now I can put my whole business up for sale, or, you know, a whole unit of labor, and who knows who will pick it up, Singapore or India, Taiwan, I don't know who's going to get it. Hell, for a lot
the
of this stuff, they don't even need to speak English.
The problem is being ignored. There are millions of people in this country who have nothing to do.
Right.
What are we going to do about that?
Well, I think we've talked about social programs before, and I don't imagine they'll go away anytime soon. They might be reduced. But
then the country will be burned down.
Right. I mean, isn't that the same situation Roosevelt dealt with in the 30s?
Oh, it's
isn't
way
isn't that what he was afraid of?
So what
of?
Are we going to do? Take half the high school age kids in the country and have them plant pine trees again in Montana?
I don't know. They can plant them wherever they like.
They're 20 years old, they're going to live for 60 more years, and they can't do anything.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
Well, what?
Somebody call me, 347-945-6713. Somebody call me and tell me.
Yeah. Well,
give me some kind of hope. I've spent 30 years of my life teaching the 1%.
Uh-huh.
And that's hit me right square between the eyes. Mr. Obama, you want to talk about all these fancy ideas and your buddy Arne Duncan and his send your kids to the public school.
Well, it would be, well, you know, I hate to bring this up because I know how you liberal people react, but there is this thing called personal responsibility. And when you decide to drop out of high school, you're making a very poor choice.
Is that right? Am I right or wrong? No, I don't think people choose to drop out of high school.
Oh, the ones I know pretty much made that choice.
Either by
a conscious decision or by their behavior to where they weren't allowed to go anymore. So, and how about college itself? I mean, think of the ones that get to college and drop out. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, but the number is smaller and smaller all the time that even go to college from the... And what do we do?
Well, look, it's becoming too expensive. That's certainly true. I mean, the poor kids out here just got jacked up another 9%, all the while the teachers are...
Yeah, friends.
You know, I mean, it's craziness, you know. So here are these professors who want a 9% raise, and then the kids, you know, who are getting a 9% tuition increase. So, you know, who do you blame, right?
I don't know what the answer is, but we gotta find one.
Yeah.
Or we're going to become a backwater. We're going to become a nothing country.
Well, I think, you know, just on a global basis, we still have, you know, tremendous intellectual and academic resources. You know, innovation tends to still occur here.
Graduating from high school.
Right, well, you know.
When is somebody going to understand that?
You know, we've
got the best universities in the world. And, oh, we're innovators.
Well, we are.
Half the population is not graduating from high school on the in the public sector.
Well, what you're seeing then is a parallel to the income disparity that's been ongoing for decades.
Absolutely.
So now you have a 1% here, and now you have a 1% in the intellectual community, in the scientific community. You know, all right on down the line, and there's a whole bunch of people who are left out.
Yeah, well, they got to be included.
Well, I don't know what they can contribute. That's the problem. Because they made the choice not to get an education, and what do you have to offer society? What do you have? And who are you going to blame? Because we offered you the high school education for free. What can I say? I mean, there are, sure, I would like to see my streets in better condition. I would like to see the parks cleaner and better kept. But that money doesn't exist to hire people to do that. And even if we had some, you know, I can't pay you what you want. I've got union people now mowing lawns for $50,000 a year. There's a guy at the zoo here shoveling elephant shit for $65,000 a year.
And we could afford to do that.
Yeah, well, guess what? We can't afford it anymore.
Yes, we can.
I fire that union guy, I can hire three kids for $20,000 a year, right? That's how I solve the problem.
That doesn't solve the problem, because the other 15 kids that don't have jobs are going to come and burn your house down.
Well, I haven't seen a riot in a long time, not since what?
Yeah, well, take
mid-60s,
a look at what happened
like
in New
that.
York today. Take a look what happened in Oakland, although it was a pretty interesting trick.
Those are people who, they don't need a reason to riot. They have their own agenda,
the solution's not drum circles.
Well, there's a lot of elements to this Occupy Wall Street thing, which are very strange, you know.
Okay.
If you want to communicate to me, if you want to say no to me, don't wave your hands and wiggle your fingers, because I don't know what that means. I mean, I know what it means now, but I didn't know. and then this microphone.
Wave your hands and wiggle your fingers.
Oh, well, that means no. And then if you hand them out in front of me and wiggle them, that means yes. I'm not kidding.
Go on.
And then they have this whole way of communicating with each other. They use a little bit of sign language, and then they use this other, the human microphone, where
yes,
one person says
like
something
the
and then the all other ones chant, you know.
I like the human microphone.
Yeah, but it is pretty strange. I mean, I've seen Colbert do it. You know, he was down there doing a comedy thing, and that was funny as hell. But, you know, let's say you have an idea and you want to make your idea mainstream or communicate to the greatest number of people you can. Well, those aren't the techniques I would choose. I mean, let's face it, that's just not working. Oh, did you see the, I posted the video, oh, it was from Eureka, California.
I don't know if I did or not.
Oh, it was the one with who pooped on U.S. Bank?
I've heard about it. I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's funny. You should see that. That is hysterical. But the worst part is this woman who's running through the tent city with the microphone. She actually won an Emmy. And she's like the head honcho for the news department there. And all she does is talk about pee and poop. Who pooped on the bank? Did you pee on the bank? I saw poop on the bank. Did you poop on the bank? It's hysterical. So I'm looking.
No,
I'm thinking,
I haven't seen it.
And I'm looking, I'm thinking, ah, there we are. American journalism at its finest. Oh, it's great. Even Fox News picked it up over the weekend.
Who does your old job at the newspaper now?
What's that?
Your old job at the newspaper. Who does it? Is there a person who does it?
There are, I imagine, but it's been consolidated into a group of people. A lot of the work was outsourced. And it
really?
A lot of it, I mean, a lot. I would say 50% of the ads in the newspaper now are produced in India and come back, you know. Then there are, I don't think there are more than 20 people in the whole department. And when I started there in the 80s, there were 270 people.
Really?
So it gives you an idea of what has happened over the years. But all of those processes are gone. You know, paste up and camera work and, you know, film stripping.
I remember when we were Cub Scouts, you used to go down to the Buffalo Evening News and they'd give you the little metal plates that they put in the presses.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, even that whole process.
I know. Linotypes.
You know, that's not
fair. My granduncle Mike was a linotype operator for the Courier Express.
Oh, yeah. That used to be the most secure job there was. And, well, like I say, it's gone.
I remember when they struck at the Washington Post. It was the year I came down here. And they were phasing them out and brought in the new computers. And then the Post locked them out and they destroyed the presses.
A similar thing happened here. All the Linotype people were in a picket line in the front of the building.
Uh-huh.
And if you went out back to where the loading docks were, there were all the Linotype machines sitting out waiting to be junked. I mean, they didn't even know what was happening. I mean, it was that quick. They just said, that's done. We won't do this again. Yeah. And the unfortunate part is there were other unions that also went on strike in sympathy, you know, like all our drivers and that. And, of course, they lost all their jobs, too. Yeah. So, you know, but, yeah, the innovation in publishing is just tremendous, you know. When you think of everything that we used to have to do just to get one newspaper out. Incredible man hours. But,
and you used to do it four times a day.
We only had the one paper. You know, eventually they...
Didn't they have more than one edition?
No, they didn't do that at Sacramento Bee. So, remember, you still had a morning paper and an evening paper. Just like in Buffalo. The Courier was
right.
in the morning and the News was Buffalo.
Right,
evening.
And the Courier had afternoon editions and the News had morning editions.
No, that didn't happen until the Buffalo Evening News challenged the morning, because the morning was the best market.
The News, for sure. They had the state edition, which actually came out about noon. It wasn't
okay. Yeah, there were, yeah, we had that structure,
there was
too.
There was the state edition, then the Metro, the News Boys delivered the Lake City.
Yeah,
then after Lake City was Final... No, there was something in between Lake City and Final Sport.
Yeah, but look, all they did was swap out a few pages.
They had to get it printed.
Yeah, but it was only if there was significant late-breaking news. And all they did was change the cover and maybe a few other pages inside. But that's really all it was, you know. But eventually, I mean, everyone realized that the morning edition was the only thing that was worth doing. Because eventually, you know, television and cable were getting so good that there was just no point in publishing at 2:30, you know, when the evening news was going to come on, everyone was going to see it. Plus, nobody was around in the afternoon. They were at work. They weren't going to get their paper until they got home.
Right, Buffalo is one of the few places where the evening paper won the battle.
Oh, no, same thing here.
The evening?
Yeah, the B was the evening paper, and then they decided to take the morning slot, which knocked out Sacramento Union. The Union had been the oldest newspaper west of the Mississippi. And Mark Twain had worked there and, you know, had a...
He worked for the Courier Express, too.
Oh,
he worked
yeah,
in a lot
yeah.
of places.
Well, he was... he got around.
Yeah.
So anyway. And then eventually, some friends of mine that have had a printing plant here, which is also out of business now, but they bought the Sacramento Union and tried to keep it alive for a while.
Really? Were you involved?
Yeah. No, I didn't get involved in that. I was still involved in their I was taking some of her products to be printed down there. But the problem was that they hired some of the most radical right-wingers you could imagine. And I mean, it was horrible.
Worse than the neocons?
They put Rush Limbaugh's column on the front page. That was how bad it was. Oh, what's his name?
Yeah.
What's his name? Hardcastle was the publisher. He runs that that World News website, and I mean these are off the wall guys. They're way out there. So, you know, I mean you can call them conservative, but they kind of they're extreme. We'll just say that. So, you know, I mean, I consider myself generally to be a conservative, but, you know, but I'm so, you know, I'm a libertarian, so social issues are quite different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, when it comes to free markets, I'm a realist on free markets. I know that without regulation, such as 2008, that's what happened, you know. So you can go laissez-faire all you want, but don't do it in the SEC, okay? Don't do it in the Federal Reserve. You're not there to, you know, what do you think you are there for? You're there to regulate. You're there to watch things.
So what's going to happen with this Wall Street thing? They've been throwing them out across the country.
What's that? Oh, the occupying? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's hard to figure out because it's happening in communities where you probably wouldn't expect it, especially out here, you know.
Well, but
or even in New York, you know.
Everybody's cracking down. They would have just, all they would have had to do is wait two more weeks, and everybody would have gone home.
Yeah. Well. My suggestion is they take it to Washington.
Well, they're still here. In fact, they were upset in Washington about what was happening in New York today, and they blocked the street, and where they live is right across from my wife's office.
Oh, really? Okay.
And she couldn't get out of the building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well... One thing is that I don't think it's not big enough yet, and like I say, it's not coherent either. It's not communicating very well. Now, I understand the whole thing, well, we don't have leaders and all that. Well, guess what? Somebody has to do it, even if it's just a spokesman or a woman, and they have to do it in language that we understand. Not with signs and symbols and, you know. And it can't be art, and it can't be street theater, and it can't be drum circles. Because, again, I mean, you know, that's cool at Burning Man, but it's just not working in, you know, in Zuccotti Park. So. But, you know, and it could be, I mean, you know, let's face it, if I were 18 or 20 in their situation, I would probably be much more sympathetic and maybe even part of it, but I'm not that anymore.
Yeah, me either.
You know, so...
I worked my whole life for the 1%. Just stupid.
Oh, yeah. Well, I suppose there's very few of us who haven't worked for the 1% in one way or another.
Yeah. I thought I was doing good stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe I wasn't.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got into a conversation with a friend of mine, what was that, last week, and, what the hell is it called again? God damn it, I can't think at all. Maslow's, it's a pyramid of human needs. You know all that, right? Yeah, I have to really go back in time to where I learned. But, you know, one of the things I realized was that the top tiers of that pyramid, you know, where you get into self-actualization.
That's the very top.
Right, right. And what happens with the actualization thing is that usually we think our actualization is something much greater than we are. You know, if you're an artist, you're going to be a great artist, or a musician's going to be a great musician, and so on and so forth. But, of course, once you get into your 50s, you realize that that isn't going to happen. So instead of trying to actualize at that level, I actualize at my level. Wherever the hell I am, that's where I'm actualized. And I think the next, what was the next level, was self-esteem?
I think the second highest
was self-esteem. And, of course, that requires a great deal of social interaction, where we're constantly reinforcing each other to find the level of, you know, how respected you are and how well-loved you
are,
think about yourself. And again,
Maslow's hierarchy, so we're all on the same page. Physiologic.
Right.
You got to eat, make more of us, and have a place to sleep.
Right.
That's
most people,
most people
can do that.
Next. Then love and belonging. Then esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you were right. Self-esteem, confidence, and then self-actualization.
Right.
Morality, creativity, spontaneity.
Yeah, here are my thoughts on it. I think that once you get up into our age group, where let's say you're not working anymore, so you don't have much of your socializing is gone, and the actualization thing, you know, our ambitions are far less, that once you get to that age, that those two, the top of the pyramid, doesn't matter anymore. At least I found that true for myself.
So you don't have any morality anymore?
No, I have my morality, but I don't have to get feedback from other people.
Okay.
You know, and again, the confidence, the self-worth, you know, self-esteem, you know, these are all settled. These issues are not there anymore. So I don't need that constant feedback and reinforcement. That's not important. So,
well, we got about 2 minutes left. So my final thought is, if you get a chance, go find Daniel Pink's A Whole New Mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that Maslow's hierarchy was a great segue into being able to talk about Pink's book. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Psych 101, I remember it well.
And so do you have anything else to say? Any other things you want to get in here in the last minute or two?
No, not particularly. I'll send you something to your Facebook page or whatever if I have a topic that I think might be,
All right, that'll be great.
Useful, you know.
Now, I know, you know what I'm trying to figure out, if what I'm about to do is a copyright violation.
Hmm.
I am about to, I was thinking about putting the Flogging Molly song on my computer and just let it play in the background.
Oh. The way it works is I think you can do like snippets, and there's like 30 seconds at max or something of that sort.
Well, I only got 50 left, so by the time I even got it up and playing, it would be over. So it's been another good week of Dormant Night. We talked about technology, jobs, my examples. My co-host from the coast was here. We had a great discussion. I hope you're all out there listening. Please, next week, give us a call, 347-945-6713. The audience is perking up again. We had 100 jump this week. So everybody out there, keep listening. Until that time, this is Norm at Night saying see you next Tuesday.
Okay.
Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.